welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, we're going to go ahead and get started this morning in a passage out of the book of Galatians. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the Galatians. Now, you think of Galatians. Galatia was not a church. There was no church of Galatia. You know, like you might think of Ephesus or, you know, some of the other ones. Galatia was a region a lot like Door County. So Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, Ellison Bay, Sister Bay, Egg Harbor. So when you see the book of Galatians, you got to kind of think of that. Think of that. It's a region. Talking to a bunch of little cities in a region. So he, you know, his first missionary journey, Paul went through that area of Galatia and established all these churches. And so he's coming back around and he's just wanting to reiterate some things and really put some things in perspective. And he really has this great statement. He says in the Galatians 5:16, "But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do." Okay? So the Apostle Paul is kind of laying out here that there is a certain way to walk. You can walk by the Spirit. And the reason why this is such a powerful truth that we, you know, especially at Door of Life, we've revisited several times, is because you see the amazing promise that's connected with it. If I can walk in the Spirit, I will not gratify the desires of the flesh. What does gratifying the desires of the flesh represent? It represents addictions. It represents, you know, all the things that, you know, are hurting you or pulling you back. It could be some bitterness that you're trying to shake or something that's putting you down some dark path. And, you know, so, but if I walk in the Spirit, I won't gratify the desires of the flesh. I won't indulge those appetites that I know are not good for me, that are not good for my relationships, that are not good for my life. And so there's a tremendous promise here. And so we've kind of came at this truth of what it means to walk in the Spirit a few different ways. And I've just really felt stirred in my heart, in my mind, to really revisit this from another perspective, okay? So this morning, we're going to look at walking in the Spirit. But when we think of walking in the Spirit, again, it's something we're trying to demystify. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? If I can just know what that means and do that, I'm going to get free. So it's this concept of cracking the code of walking in the Spirit, or really know what that means. So this morning, instead of trying to understand and try to come up with the answer of what it means to walk in the Spirit as a concept, that whole thing, I want you to stop and think about simply the word walk. What is a walk in of itself? A walk is just a series of steps. That's all it is. We go for walks. We like to go for walks around our place and walk around the block or have our routes or whatever that we do. And what am I doing when I'm going for a walk? I am just taking a series of steps. And when I'm done taking that series of steps, I will call that a walk. But instead of thinking of a walk in terms of this thing I'm trying to understand, break it down and to realize that all that walk is, any walk is, it's going to be a series of steps. So if you're going to walk in the Spirit, you are going to be taking steps in the Spirit. Specific steps in the Spirit. And together, they make up a walk. And so this morning, we're just going to, again, approach this from this angle. Walking in the steps of the Spirit. So I don't want you to think of this walk as this thing I'm trying to do. I want you to see it in as a series of steps that make up a walk, okay? Now, a few years back, I got my Fitbit, and it's pretty cool because it keeps track of my steps. And so I can tell, you know, throughout my day, you know, how many steps I'm taking. And it's good because I realize, and sometimes, that, you know, I might look at it and go, oh my goodness, I haven't hardly taken any steps. Or it's like, wow, I've taken that many steps. And I'll look back and think, oh yeah, I went to the grocery store, I did this. And, you know, but it's something that's keeping track of your steps. And why is it valuable? It's a good tool because it keeps me mindful of my steps. It keeps me aware. And the purpose of this message, in a sense, is to kind of be like a spiritual Fitbit, as it were, to make you aware of steps, to make you aware that my day is a series of steps, and at the end of this day, my step count is going to be X. Not because I was necessarily going for it, but just because of the way I did my life and what I, you know, here and there, it adds up, and I've got steps. What is a walk in the Spirit? It's steps that you're taking in the Spirit throughout your whole day. And so, again, this morning, walking in the steps of the Spirit, we are going to look at walking in the Spirit just from that word steps. You could almost be called, you could almost subtitle this message, The Anatomy of a Step. Because we're just going to look at what a step looks like. Because if you can get one step and know what a step looks like, then you can walk in the Spirit. You can understand what it is and why it is what it is and why it works this way. Why is it that I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh when I take a step in the Spirit? Because it's a step. So, first things first, the simplicity of a step. Definition of a step. A single movement of one foot forward or in any direction where that foot lifts off the ground, moves through space, and contacts the ground again. All right. Probably nothing new here this morning. But why is that important? Because when you think of a step, it's simple, right? A step isn't complicated. It's by design supposed to be something very easy to comprehend. And again, we're kind of demystifying what it means to walk in the Spirit. It's a step. What does that step look like? The Bible clearly defines what a step is. Paul starts out by saying, the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. That's Jesus, we know, who came to be just like us, never sinned, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. What do you mean by that, Paul? For those who live according or walk according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Simplicity. A step is, that's a step. What's a spiritual step? Setting your mind. Not complicated, not mystical, simple. It's a decision to set your mind. That's a step. Coming to church today was a step. Congratulations, you have made a spiritual step. When you make a decision to set your mind on something that is of the Spirit. Again, coming to church is certainly one of those. You'll also notice, though, too, he's very clear about how there's not just a spirit walk, but there is a flesh walk. He said, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So there's two walks. There is a walk in the Spirit, but there's also a walk in the flesh. And they're obviously going very different directions. But in this one way, the walk in the Spirit and the walk in the flesh are exactly the same. This is one thing they have 100% in common. The way you take a step in the flesh is the exact same way you take a step in the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh or walk according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. The action of a step is the same. It's just what you decide to set your mind on. Steps of the Spirit, they're decisions. Now, we live in a world where we've got the flesh, the world, and the devil. And so setting your mind on the things of the flesh is much easier in terms of the environment we live in than it is to set your mind on the things of the Spirit. You're going against the grain of this world to set your mind on the things of the Spirit. You're going against the grain of your own body, how you feel a lot of times. You know, you're going against the grain of the atmosphere of demonic activity that's telling us to go this way. Flesh, world, the devil, kind of hear that phrase a lot. They all have one objective: set your mind on the things of the flesh. That's their agenda. They all have the exact same agenda. That's it. I want to share this morning, again, from the idea of a step, because we can talk about a lot of these things in a religious term and a duty, and we got to see through the religious sense of duty this morning and see the spiritual truth and the spiritual reality. You'll notice he starts out this whole passage by saying, the law of the Spirit of life has made you free from the law of sin and death. Not only are there two kind of walks, there's two laws. So when I'm walking according to the Spirit, it's not just me checking my box. There's a law of the Spirit of life that's involved with my spiritual step. When I walk in the Spirit, when I walk in the flesh, there's a spiritual law that's involved of sin and death when I walk in the flesh. So when we're talking about walking in the Spirit, we realize what I do when I make that decision to set my mind to go that direction. Again, not just me being a good guy, the spiritual law of life in Christ Jesus is working in me in a very much of a powerful way. There's spiritual law in the same way in the natural. If I'm choosing to walk, there are natural laws that are going to begin to work with me too. Cardiovascular laws will begin to work with me. That'll begin to help my health. It's not just me doing my walk. There's spiritual, natural laws that are working with my decisions to help me and strengthen me and change things. That's me too. I'm not just trying to be a good guy. I'm recognizing by faith, man, I'm setting my mind. I'm going to be doing something, and God is going to be there with me. God's going to be helping me. And so we almost kind of get this admonition from Paul in Colossians, where he just says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. The Passion says, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm, fill your thoughts with heavenly realities, not with the distractions of the natural realm. The Message, a little more blunt, says, don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up. Be alert of what's going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from His perspective. What is Paul basically saying? He's saying, go for a walk. Go for a walk. We can, again, this first thing is, what is a step? A step is just, it's a simple decision to go for a walk. When I'm making that decision to go for a walk, I don't know everything that's going to happen in terms of my physical health and strength and how that's going to affect me specifically. I'm going for a walk by faith, knowing that it's going to help me and be a blessing to my life physically. All right? Same thing is true spiritually. When you begin to go for a walk spiritually, even like you did this morning, coming to church, you know, beginning to worship God, different things like that, that's where you begin to realize that it's not just me, but there is spiritual laws. There's things that are going into motion here too that are helping me, that are strengthening me. And so I just want to start, you know, with the idea, when we're talking about walking in the steps of the Spirit, that it's simple. It's just a decision to go the route of the Spirit and not the flesh. All right. Now I know that can be easier said than done. You've got a lot more things working against you to get you on the flesh side than it is the Spirit side. You got to make that decision. You got to make spiritual decisions to go against those things and to go against the grain of those things. But man, to realize, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? It's choosing to take a step in the Spirit, to see through that. And then to realize that there are a variety of steps. We've kind of alluded to that already. We'll take a look at a couple. Let me just say it this way, first of all. When it comes to my Fitbit, again, if I'm going to have a workout or I'm going to go for a walk, I get a lot of steps. It ratchets up my step count. The same thing is true, like when I'm maybe going to have a devotion time. I'm going to have that special time with the Lord. Well, man, I'm going to be doing a lot of special things. I might be ratcheting up my step count. But the thing about my Fitbit is that my Fitbit doesn't stop counting after my devotion, after my workout is done. My Fitbit keeps counting outside of my workout regimen. And to realize that decisions, it's good to have that devotion time, but there are decisions that we make all throughout our day that count just as much. In other words, in the same way that the step counted just as much walking at Walmart as it did walking outside to do my walk, spiritual steps that we take outside of our devotion time, they are just as much part of what we're doing. This walk in the Spirit isn't, did I have my devotion time this morning? That's not what walking in the Spirit is. Walking in the Spirit is a series of steps that we take throughout our whole day, that we live with a conscious awareness that I'm constantly taking steps. And you might start out, you know, you can start out taking steps and going down a path that you know, and then all of a sudden you get, you know, suckered off into some wrong path, and all of a sudden you're on a completely different train of thought, and now you're singing the Lost in the Woods song, you know. I don't know where I'm at right now. You know, I need help, God, you know, mentally, to get back on track again. But you're experiencing these decisions to take steps, and that's why the Scripture talks about our weapons are powerful to taking every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That sounds extreme, but what it is, it's you're aware of steps. You're aware of the steps and the path that you're taking. It's an awareness. It's an awareness from a healthy standpoint. Again, this is not a religious standpoint. This is not trying to get people to think right about me. It's realizing that, man, this is going to be the direction of life. So, variety of steps. These are some different things that we can experience. Spiritual steps. The Apostle Paul said, in the light of anxiety, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. Now think again, as we're looking at this, think of this in terms of setting your mind. Don't think of, yeah, I know I should pray. Don't think of that. Think of it this way. Think of a decision, a spiritual decision in the face of anxiety. I'm making a decision to set my mind. All right? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, I'm choosing to let my request be made known to God. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, lovely, commendable, if any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Think about these things. It's like, oh, that sounds Pollyanna. That sounds like you're sticking your head. That sounds like you're in denial. No, not at all. When I'm anxious for something, I start out by praying about it. I start out by confronting it. I start out by opening my heart to the Lord about it. Now, when you're walking, when you're taking a step and you're truly going someplace, you know, you could just step in place like this and not go anywhere. That's kind of what religion does. It checks the prayer box. I'm supposed to pray, I prayed. That's not a spiritual step, though. A spiritual step is different. A spiritual step is when you fix your mind on something. Lord, I am anxious about this, and I am going there in my heart. I want to pray about this, and I want to hear what you have to say about it. Someone asked me, said, it seems like I'm not hearing from God. And my instinctive response is, are you listening? Sometimes we pray and we want to hear, but are we listening? This kind of prayer is listening. It's letting my request, it's supplicating, it's praying. I'm going to tell you, when I go through this and I got an anxious thought, I'm saying, Father, here's a mess. I'm not quite sure what to do about it. These are some thoughts that I have in my heart. They could be you. I'm not sure if they are you, but this is what I'm thinking about doing next about it. And maybe I'm off or maybe I'm wrong, but this is kind of what I got in my heart. This is a direction I feel like I want to go. What am I? I'm just talking. I'm just fellowshipping with God about it. I'm being serious. I'm not checking a prayer box here. I'm not doing this. I'm going somewhere. I'm talking to God about it. I'm being intentional. And I'm getting what's in my heart out to God. And I love how it says, with thanksgiving. That's context. In other words, You're saying it and saying, God, I trust you. You are good. I thank you. You've been faithful to me. I mean, there's so many, there's so much we have to be grateful for. The mercy of God, the grace of God that stays with us. In fact, we sing a song along those lines. I'm just so grateful for you. You know, time and time again, you're just so grateful. I'm still here. I'm still talking. I'm still walking with you. I'm so grateful, Lord. I want to keep walking with you. I want this relationship to be even more real. I want it to be stronger. You know, when you start out walking, and maybe you haven't walked for a while, you take that first loop or whatever it is that you do, you come back and you might be tired, or maybe it's a jog, because you just haven't done it for a while. You're a little out of shape. Same thing is true spiritually. If you haven't prayed for a while, it's like, kind of go a little while. That's okay. You just go as much as you know. You begin to talk things out as much as you know. This isn't a competition. You just begin to talk things out a little bit. And then you keep doing it more and more. And what happens is, in the same way when somebody's working out, your cardiovascular builds up, your spiritual attention span begins to build up. And when you begin to get vulnerable, you don't have to run away because you're afraid. You begin to stay there and listen longer. Amen. Because you're stepping and you're going in a direction. And I'm seeing this differently. I'm seeing this as a spiritual step that I'm letting the life of God, the law of the Spirit of life, works through this. It's not me stepping in place. I'm going somewhere with a step, things that are true and honorable and just. Once I've prayed, because you can pray about something, and it always happens, I mean, almost always, you pray about something, and the enemy's going to be there. He'll come immediately to try to undermine what you just prayed. You could have maybe just forgiven somebody, or maybe you're just trusting God for a certain area, and then the fear comes right back again. But what's the promise? The peace will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How does that work? Things that are true in the face of that counterattack of the enemy, when you go on and say, no, what's true and honorable and just and pure and lovely, I'm going there. I have permission to go there, and it's not denial. I have permission to go there, and I'm working with the peace that's keeping my heart and mind in Christ Jesus, because I have prayed. I have asked the Lord. And I'm talking about things. I'm talking through some things. What is this? This is a step of prayer. This is with the intention of going somewhere. I'm going somewhere in God. And here again, it's like anything else. You know, you don't start out, you don't start out in shape. You begin to go places, and the more you get familiar, you begin to pick up some things on His Spirit and His voice. And that's the cool thing about God. You get in, we'll say all the time at Door of Life, there's two sermons you're hearing. The one I'm preaching, but there's the second sermon of the Holy Spirit that you're getting in your heart about what I'm preaching. And that's between you and God. And that's the one you take with you. That second sermon is in this place of prayer too. You pray out things, and you're the preacher as you're praying out things to God. And you're getting a second sermon as you're praying by the Holy Spirit. He'll show you things, keeping your spirit open to what He wants to show you. And man, you begin to go true, honorable, just, pure, lovely. What is that? That is like a resistance to the enemy that's trying to undermine what you just prayed. Nope, I'm staying in that place where my heart and mind is in a place. The thing that I love about it, it's a peace that surpasses your understanding. It's not because God doesn't want you to have understanding. He does. But in the meantime, there's a peace that passes your understanding. And thinking on those things keeps your heart and mind in that place of peace so that you have ears to hear when the understanding does come. And it's not clouded with a bunch of anxiety and hatred and bitterness. But I'm staying in that. No, Lord, you told me to pure, honest, just. You know that accusing a voice that's going to come back. No, I'm taking a step in prayer. And I'm hanging. I just don't want to. And Lord, furthermore, Lord, as I'm praying about this, I want to get to know you more. I want to get to know your voice in prayer more, Lord. You told me to come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You told me that you're a safe place. I want to experience the safety of this place firsthand. I'm going to be coming to take that step of prayer. That's a step in the Spirit. What is it? That's a spiritual decision to set your mind. Religion doesn't set. You know, you're more praying at God, checking boxes. But this is no, I'm going. I'm making myself vulnerable to the Spirit. Because when I'm here, it's not just me praying. The law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus is working in here. He is, in a powerful way. What is walking in the Spirit? It's steps of the Spirit. That's a step of the Spirit. There's a step of the Word, all right? These are some obvious ones that, you know, we might be able to already know ahead of time, but look at how the Word puts these things. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. He's talking to believers here, by the way. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. I love that. Receive with meekness the implanted Word. You know, in the same way you can pray at God in prayer to check a box, you can read at the Bible when you read the Bible. Okay, got to get through my chat. You know, we can have different attitudes, or even just look at it and, you know, I don't care whether it's two verses or two chapters or whatever. The heart attitude can be that. It's not like just, oh, if I just do one verse, then it's going to be for real. No, it won't necessarily. It's not the volume of scriptures that make it real or not real. It's the meekness of the heart. It's a decision when you sit down with that Word and say, Lord, I'm about to read your Word, but reading your Word is not what saves my soul and delivers me. It's with receiving it with meekness. So I'm going to the Word of God with an attitude. I'm saying, okay, I'm going to read, and whether it is a verse or five verses or whatever, I'm going in with the spiritual posture that I'm going to receive. I'm not going to be talking at the word. I'm going to let that Word in me. I'm going to receive it into me. What is that? What are you receiving when you receive the Word of God? The Word of God is living and powerful. These are the things you're receiving when you receive the Word like this. The Word is living and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, and it's. I'm not, my brain isn't that smart, but it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Man, your ability to be honest with yourself does not come from you. Receiving with meekness that Word and saying, okay, Lord, I'm receiving that. I'm receiving your strength. I'm receiving your discernment in the situation. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. What am I doing? I'm saying, Lord, I'm receiving, I'm letting you teach, I'm going to let you reprove, I'm going to let you correct, I'm going to let you train. This is a step in the Spirit. This is a forward step, going somewhere in the Spirit. I'm coming. I've had that, you know. A lot of times you already know the Scripture. You're dealing with something and you already know what the Bible says. And you think, oh, well, that'd make you really happy. No. You're not just automatically happy. And sometimes you can almost feel frustrated because you don't agree necessarily. You think there would be a better way. You might not say that out loud. But the way you feel, okay? I know what I'm supposed to do. And again, this is the difference between religion and an actual step, because when I say, I'm going to set my mind, all right, maybe it is forgiveness, and say, I know I'm supposed to forgive, but I go to that Word in Colossians 3, 12 and 13, to put on tender mercies, kindness, you know, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Lord, I receive that Word with meekness. I receive that Word. I let that Word in me. I let that Word correct me. I let that Word train me. 1,000 years from now, that Word won't change. I submit myself to your Word. I humble myself. God gives grace to the humble. It's not just how you act and look in front of people. It's when you personally let that Word instruct you and say, Your word is right, Lord. But here's the other blessing of the word. It doesn't just point out what's right and wrong. It divides your soul and your spirit. Your soul is how you feel. Your spirit is who you are. Amen. And the word can get, it can get in between how you feel and who you are. And the word will remind you of who you are. And the power that's in the word will rise up in you, and you realize there's more to you than how you feel. Amen. You are a child of God. Amen. And as a child of God, you can forgive like your Father. And you can do what He's put His love in your heart to do what He's called you to do, and you can act like your Father. And all of a sudden, the identity that can be here and the feelings and the emotions can be horrible. Word gets in between, reminds you of who you are, and it's like, oh yes, thank you, Lord. Who I am is bigger than this thing and how I feel about it. The Word does that. And there's something about, it's not just recalling it, but going to the Word. Like what Solomon from Proverbs says, my son, you know, pay attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. That attitude where it's like, okay, Lord, here we go. I'm going to take a step in the Word. I'm going to let that Word in. I'm going to let it correct me. I'm going to let it change me. I can't do this. There's only one way this can happen. By the law of the Spirit, all I can do is take the step. The law of the Spirit of life can't do what only I can do. Only I can take the step. The law of the Spirit of life can't take the step for me. But I can't do what the law of the Spirit of life can do either. All I can do is take the step. Once I take that step in the Spirit, there's a stirring up of the Spirit of God. There's a stirring up of the Word of God, and then the Word of God begins to do what it does. Now, I'm going to say, if you've been walking with God for any amount of time, you've experienced this. You might even call it the good old days, the glory days, when you were living for God here. We've all experienced this. I like to say this a lot, all the time. The new believer does this better on accident than a lot of us mature believers try to do it on purpose sometimes. Because when they first experience the things of God, it's just all new and it's all God and they're just in the Word and they're just constantly taking steps. It's the new thing. They don't realize, but they're putting the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus all over. And they're tearing it up, you know. Then sometimes, you know, something will happen or they get a why God question or different things like that. And it's like, oh, you know, does God even love me? Am I still a child of God? You know, go through, yes, you're still a child of God. He forgives you. He loves you. You go back and you learn to grow spiritually and mature and develop. But the truth is the same. That's why the scripture says, return to your first love. Not your original maturity, not a babyhood maturity, but your love. That heart that wants to go after God, that knows that He is there for you. So there is this step in the Word that you begin to take too. And then finally, there's a step of worship. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. I love that. It's an interesting thing. You're singing as you're giving out in singing. You're getting filled with the presence of God. You're giving out. You're filling up as you're giving out. Amazing how that works. And this can be the same, too, even in a worship service. You can sing at the screen, you know? You can sing at the screen, or you can let those words in. Hallelujah, I am not alone. I'm not alone. I'll never be alone again. I'm worshiping in spirit and in truth, and I just sensed that even this morning in worship, that the Lord was just inhabiting praises. He inhabits that. He seeks those who worship so that He can inhabit those in praises, so that you can experience His presence. Again, this isn't just like I sang my song. This is a spiritual step. This is a step. This is walking in spirit. You know, Jesus talked about two men who went up to pray once. He said there was one religious guy, and then there was this guy who was a sinner and really had a hard, you could tell, he had a hard time. The religious guy went up and began to expound to the Lord of all the great things that he did. The sinner just beat his chest and said, forgive me, God, a sinner. Have mercy. And Jesus said, that's the guy who went home justified. I think his prayer was like four or five words from the heart. But he took a step. That other guy who's, I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like other men, that I don't do this, that I don't do that, that I do this. He's just walking in place. The Bible says he was praying with himself. That's the religious posture. You're checking boxes, but you're not taking spiritual steps. We're talking about steps in the Spirit. These are personal decisions that you make. A preacher can inspire you to some level on a Sunday morning to do some things. But this is where, in the face of your own flesh world and the devil and stuff like that, you choose to take those steps. And you choose to experience the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus for yourself in those places. That's between you and Him. But that's where you begin to hear your second sermons, in your prayer closets, in different things like that. And so, there are these, and I just wanted to bring out this. This was an occasion where Paul and Silas got in trouble because they got a young gal delivered. And so they were thrown in jail. And it says, when they had inflicted many blows on them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. All right, their feet aren't going anywhere. And yet they're about to walk. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. Of course, later in the story, Paul was able to get the jailer and his whole family saved. Pretty amazing. But what do we see here? Even though their feet were fastened, even though people did something to him, to put him down, to oppress him, he did not lose his ability in his freedom to be able to walk, to be able to worship God and to declare. And what happened? The law of the Spirit of life shook that jail. Paul didn't shake the jail. Paul was just walking. He was just walking in a step, a spiritual step of worship to God. Because all this thing, I mean, he could have been shaking his fist at God and saying, "Why God?" He didn't. I mean, this is unfair. This is unjust, right? You talk about justice, and he did nothing wrong. But instead of being bitter, he took a spiritual step in the face of that, and something broke. You know, this is kind of allegorical. I mean, this really happened as far as the physical. But I've had things where happen where you're feeling in that, and you take that step of faith, and other things will shake and break, and you begin to see things differently. This is a step of worship. This is where I'm being intentional. Lord, I want to worship you in spirit and in truth. When I'm worshiping you, I'm seeing you. And those words, in the same way I let the word of God, I receive that with me, because I let the words that I'm singing, I let these words come into my heart. I let myself go there. I'm setting my mind on things above. That's a decision of the mind. It's amazing. You know, it's like you're watching television. There's a lot of channels on television that you can watch, or, you know, I guess live streams now. Different things like that. There's a lot of choices and decisions. And you could be on a bad channel, but you can decide to flip that channel to a spirit channel. I'm speaking allegorically. You got to figure out what that means as far as your lineup goes. But when you decide to switch that channel from that one channel to the spirit channel, you're not just switching channels. You're not just switching thoughts. You're switching laws of the spirit from the law of sin and death to the law of the spirit of life. So you begin to see things from a different perspective. Again, we're not walking in place, we're taking steps, we're going somewhere. I'm changing some things because I'm changing the law. I'm changing what's going on behind the scenes that I can't see with these eyes. There are steps in the Spirit that are making a difference. So it's a step of worship. You might just call those the big three. There are so many more that you can take. I mean, I was just, Jeff had come back, Jeff Robison, for a visit. I hadn't seen him in a long time. And I had something, we were going to eat at 5, and I had something going at 8, and I thought, well, 3 hours, that'll be good. Man, we're hanging out, and Lexi, I'm going, oh my goodness, it's like 7:45. And I go, I got to just run and do something real quick, and we'll be back. But it's amazing how fellowship with believers, powerful way you set your mind on things above. I mean, to be able to talk about the things of the Spirit, the things of God, to be able to pray, to support, but to have good reports and just share experiences and things like that, man, that is a powerful way. That's why church is precious, and having fellow believers that you can hang out with, that is just as much a step in the Spirit as time in the Word, as time in worship, fellowship with the believer, just as much a step in the Spirit. Anything that you're doing, hearing what the Spirit of God is showing you to do, giving, the Spirit of God could lead you to do something. And responding to the Spirit of God, that's a powerful step in the Spirit That's thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth stuff. You know, when you begin to do that, you begin to respond to those spiritual promptings. That's a step in the Spirit. And so there's different things. Anything that is causing you to look up, anything that is causing you to get your focus on Jesus, that is a step toward the Spirit. And then finally, I just want to close with this, what I'm calling the value of steps, the value of a step, okay? Now, when we look at natural things and natural steps, we'll just do kind of a quick flyover here, but natural health benefits, 4,000 to 7,500 steps a day creates a significant drop in all-cause mortality risk compared to sedentary baselines. So that's just instant, you know, from that step count. Key health benefits, cardiovascular and metabolic health, joints, muscles, bone density, brain health, mental well-being, enhances cognitive function, memory, promotes better sleep. Those are things we might be looking for as we pursue a natural walk. The value of those steps, we can see. Well, the scripture is also very clear about giving us specifically the value of these steps when we begin to take them. This is kind of our original scripture. Paul said, I say then, walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. He goes on to say, the fruit of walking in the Spirit is, these are our health benefits. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This is the stuff that we're going for right here. You know, in the natural, you know, the way they sell diet plans and things like that is they show you this perfect body that you can have too. If you'll buy our supplements, if you'll do our deal, then you can look like this. And there's a certain thing that I'm doing because I'm trying to achieve a certain thing. Of course, there's the health benefits here, but there's other things that you can see, maybe admiring other people as far as the way they look, different things like that. When you begin to walk in the Spirit and you begin to see the value of the Spirit, the first thing that it begins to show up in your life is where you begin to, as you experience God and experience the law of the Spirit of life, you experience it beginning to change you. The love, the joy. What is love? Love is when you can begin, first of all, to receive the love of God. There may be people that are critical of you, but you know what? God doesn't see you the way that person sees you. And you can get out from underneath that and say, no, God, this is the way you see me. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. You are for me. You're ever living to make intercession for me. So as I grow and I'm having my own personal time in my place with the prayer and the Lord and getting to walk with Him, getting secure in His love for me, it's powerful. But as you begin to grow in that love, you realize that not only does God see you differently than other people may see you, but you realize that God sees certain people differently than you see them. But you don't know. God knows. All things are negative, but He sees them differently than you see them. And as you begin to take those steps in the Spirit anyway, according to His Word, man, more and more and more, you'll begin to see them the way He sees them. And the less and less and less, you're intimidated by people. He changes your heart toward people. He does that. He does that by His Spirit. He softens our hearts in a way that just comes from walking in the Spirit and changes it. And all of a sudden, I'm seeing Him different. I'm seeing Him different in a way that I'm right along with my Lord, ever living to make intercession for Him. I'm in agreement with Him, changing my heart, healing from bitterness, healing from different things as I begin to see people the way He sees them. And again, there's not a thing, it's just as the Spirit begins to show you, He might show some people. He might say, hey, this person, not that person, yes. I just want you to know, I still love them. I'm still for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. And if you're finding that there's a person, you need to pray for that person. What did Jesus say? Bless those who persecute you. Do good. Pray. Man, that's for your heart. That's where your freedom is. That's where your deliverance, that's where your growth is spiritually. Joy. We're singing about just the joy this morning. You know, there's not only a peace that passes your understanding, but there's a joy that passes your understanding. When you begin to walk in the Spirit, it's like, man, I'm just so joyful in you, Lord, and I have no reason But all I know is your presence is here, and it's really cool, and it's awesome. Thank you. I'm just resting in the joy of the Lord. It's just the fruit of the Spirit. Man, the version of me last week wouldn't have been joyful in this situation. But this week's version, as I'm continuing to grow and bear fruit in the Spirit, is changing you. Changing, just like that person that gets into shape physically, there's a spiritual health and shape. That person, you know, so it's kind of, you know how they have the person over here when they'll do the advertisement, you can look like this. On the spiritual side, there are people that you do admire, but not in that way. It's like, they're so chill. I want to be chill like that, Lord. Goodness, what is goodness? That's generosity. It's like, man, they're just like generous. I would love to have that giving spirit. Gentleness. It's like, you just like to be around them because you just know there's just to be like that guy. You know, I want to be like that guy and that guy. And when you begin to walk in the Spirit and you begin to experience yourself changing, it's like, he's making me more like that guy. I'm becoming more like that guy. Because that guy is just under the influence of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul said, hey, it's no longer me who lives. It's Christ who lives. I'm living under the influence of his Spirit. That's it, you know, that's it. But I'm changing. I'm not waiting for everybody else to catch up to me spiritually. No, I'm not religiously like that person. I am changing and growing and continually humbling myself under his mighty hand and letting him form me more and more into his image, more into the image of Christ. And you'll notice that last one, self-control. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. Where do you get the ability to say no? Where do you get the ability to not do those things? It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's a strength that you have. You know how that word will put distance between how you feel and who you really are? That same law of the Spirit of life will put distance between you and temptation when it comes at you. And all of a sudden, it's almost like there's a gap, you know, where it used to be just instinctive. Now, you're walking in the Spirit a little bit and say, hey, I got a choice here. Hey, that's a gap. That's the word. That's the work of spiritual health and growth that happens as we walk in the Spirit. You know, here's a little story. I don't know if it's true or not. It doesn't say in the reference, so I'm just going to tell you. Toad baked some cookies. These cookies smell very good, said Toad. He ate one. They taste even better, he said. Then Toad ran to Frog's house. Frog, Frog, cried Toad. Taste these cookies I've made. Frog ate one of the cookies. These are the best cookies I've ever eaten, said Frog. Frog and Toad ate many cookies, one after another. You know, Toad, said Frog with his mouth full, I think we should stop eating. We will soon be sick. You're right, said Toad. Let us eat one last cookie, then we will stop. Frog and Toad ate one last cookie, and there were many cookies left in the bowl. Frog, said Toad, let us eat one very last cookie, then we will stop. Frog and Toad ate one very last cookie. We must stop eating, cried Toad as he ate another. Yes, said Frog, reaching for another cookie. We need willpower. What is willpower, asked Toad. Willpower is trying hard to not do something you really want to do, said Frog. You mean like really trying hard to not eat all these cookies, asked Toad. Right, said Frog. Frog put the cookies in a box. There, he said, now we will not eat any more cookies. But we can open the box, said Toad. That's true, said Frog. So Frog tied some string around the box. There, he said, now we will not eat any more cookies. But we can cut the string and open the box, said Toad. That's true, said Frog. So Frog got a ladder. He put the box up on a high shelf. There, said Frog. Now we will not eat any more cookies. But we can climb the ladder, take the box down from the shelf, cut the string, open the box, said Toad. That is true, said Frog. So Frog climbed the ladder, took the box down from the shelf. He cut the string, opened the box. Frog took the box outside. He shouted in a loud voice, hey, birds, here are the cookies. Birds came from everywhere. They picked up all the cookies in their beaks and flew away. Now we have no more cookies to eat, said Toad sadly. Not even one. Yes, said Frog, but we have lots of willpower. You may keep it all, Frog, said Toad. I'm going to go home and bake a cake. Again, don't know if it's a true story, but I can tell you, sad to say, it is a true story. All right, figure that one out. But that's the efforts of man to try to do willpower, all these games. But something happens in the original premise. walk in the Spirit, you just won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because as you're doing all these different steps, you cultivate an appetite for it. Maybe some of you have experienced this even in getting in shape physically. You know, it's like, oh, I got to do this and get in shape. And all of a sudden you start to do some things, and all of a sudden you start looking forward to things. And you begin to eat right, and it's like, and you begin to work out. It's like, well, I'm not going to eat that junk. I just got done working out. I'm not going to undermine all that. All of a sudden, the attitudes and the appetites begin to change. And you begin to look different. Same with the spiritual thing. You get that spiritual, you're that spiritual guy, you know, because you're drinking of the Spirit. And the Spirit is causing you to grow and to change in ways that are making you more like Jesus. And so the final thing is this. If you plant the corrupt seeds of the self-life into the natural realm, one can expect to experience a harvest of corruption. If you plant the good seeds of the Spirit life, you will reap beautiful fruits that grow from an everlasting life of the Spirit. And don't allow yourselves to be weary or disheartened in planting good seeds, for the season of reaping is the wonderful harvest you've planted is coming. In other words, don't give up. Don't give up. This is a spiritual admonition. This is not out of a diet book. This is not this is the Word of God talking about taking spiritual steps to not give up in the taking of spiritual steps. If I am in that place where I'm needing to lose weight and decide I'm going to start walking again, and I get to the end of my driveway and I put the scale down and weigh in, and I haven't even lost a pound. I wouldn't do that, because I know that it's going to take more steps than that to lose weight. It's kind of that short start, and we can do the same thing spiritually. It's like, man, I had 3 devotion times in a row. I've never even done that before. I've read 4 scriptures. I've sang 6 songs, and I still have this addiction. I still can't shake this bitterness. I still. So I just want to say, don't give up. Keep stepping. Keep stepping. Jesus put it this way. He said, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and that truth will make you free. Yes, there is a discipline aspect of this. But the discipline I'm talking about is not religious checkboxing, walking in place discipline. It's a discipline of the heart. I want you, God. I want to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, strength. I believe you are. You're a rewarder of those who diligently seek you, and I'm seeking you. And so walking in the steps of the Spirit, there's a simplicity of a step. This is not complicated. It's simply the decision to set your mind in the direction of the Spirit. Variety of steps. All kind of different ways that you can do it. Your Fitbit counter, the Lord's Fitbit spiritual counter, it's working all the time. I've had that happen too, where I'm just kind of in a place, maybe it's just a neutral place, and think, you know what, I'm just going to think the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down. It's just blank space. It's blank time. Nothing going on. You can take a spiritual step. What are you doing? Just taking a step. It's part of my walk. My walk wasn't my devotion time this morning. My walk is my life. My walk are the decisions of what I'm going to think on throughout my day. Every one of those is a spiritual step, and they add up. Again, we can kind of get lost in the woods. We can trail off, but thank God there's always a way back to the path. There's forgiveness. There's grace to set our mind back on things above again. There's a variety of steps, and then the value of the steps. See the big picture. You know, God loves me. He's for me, and the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is truly greater than the law of sin and death. And as we begin to see that and see these things that we've been doing our whole life, from, again, this perspective, we're kind of coming at it from this approach this morning, from the approach of a spiritual step, begin to see those things as a form of a step. Amen. Well, Father, we just thank you this morning that we can walk in the Spirit step by step by step. And Father, I pray that each one of us this morning, by your second sermon of the Holy Spirit, would just begin to show us, Lord, those steps that we begin to take, Lord, those straight paths for our feet, Lord. You just show us, Father God, by your Spirit, those things that we can begin to do, steps we can begin to walk out, Lord, that will begin to grow and change and be made more, looking like the fruit of the Spirit, Father God, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness. Oh, Lord, we just thank you that it's the work of your Spirit. We just take the step. You do what only you can do, Lord. Father, I just pray that for each one of us here this morning, that we would sense that, we would know that, every step that we take, oh, it's powerful in the Spirit. And Father God, that step by step by step, we can experience that change. We can experience that growth, Father God. Thank you for it, Lord. I just pray your blessing, your strength over each one here, and just your guidance. Show each one, Father God, what those steps are. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We'll receive that this morning. And again, this is something where, you know, the second sermon of the Holy Spirit is doing the heavy lifting. I'm not saying anything. I didn't tell you you have to change anything. I didn't say any directives. I'm just talking up here by the Spirit of God. But He can be showing you things. And I'll tell you what, if He's showing you things, pay attention to that. Because there is no one who loves you more than Him. There is no one who loves you more than the Spirit who's guiding you in these decisions in your life. Amen. Praise God.